Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 12:51 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is August 26th, and it's a bank holiday in the UK today, but most other markets are open. The dollar today was rather firm. It unwound most of the decline that we saw on Friday, and that's confirming a bounce from the region of the trend mean. The dollar has been supported by President Trump walking back some of his statements about an intensification of the trade war. But what he said was, oh, well, we're going to start talking again, but they announced that 3 weeks ago. So this is not really new news. What it is, though, is I think is a clear indication that he's very sensitive to what's happening in the stock market. And when we look at what's going on in the stock market, well, the S&P 500 was in positive territory by about 1%, but this is really just looks like a short-term steadying following a very clear downward dynamic that we had on Friday. It definitely needs to continue to hold the region of the trend mean. One of the clearest bearish characteristics we can see in any kind of potential top formation development would be that if the market starts to encounter resistance in the region of the trend mean. We did see that in the third quarter of last year, and then we had that significant decline that prompted very swift action from the Federal Reserve in order to allay fears of a recession and to go in and support the market. So we are now seeing them cutting interest rates. The cutting interest rates is probably a delayed reaction to that big decline that we saw at the end of last year. There is the potential that we're going to see additional rate cuts in September or October. The ECB is definitely going to cut rates at this stage. And the outlook for monetary policy does look like we're going to have additional stimulus. When we think about what that is doing in terms of the bond yield, well, 10-year treasuries are still around the 1.5% level, despite the fact that the price was off its peak in here today. This is still a very low level. What it is also helping to do is create demand for bond proxies, and that has been one of the reasons why the consumer staples sector has been so steady. It's also been a significant factor in the strength of shares like Microsoft, which has adopted a subscription business model. These bond proxy type companies, they might be somewhat overextended in the short term, and that's also reflected by the overextension that we see in bond prices. The fact that the dollar remains firm does suggest that this interest rate differential, where we have which I think is most apparent in the yields rather than the currencies themselves, where U.S. treasuries might be only 1.5%, but that compares really very favorably to negative rates in much of Europe and Japan. That represents a clear source of demand for U.S. treasuries and U.S. assets generally. So these are important characteristics. When we then think about the potential here for an unwinding of these kinds of conditions, well, one thing that could potentially have an impact, it would be inflation. So if we think about where are the potential sources of inflation, well, so far they're not readily apparent in oil prices. The oil price remains weak. It wasn't quite able to hold on to its rally in here today, and it's demonstrating resistance in the region of that $60 area on Brent. And when we look at WTI, it continues to encounter resistance in the region of the trend mean. This does not look like a particularly bullish pattern. We're not seeing a great deal of bullish activity either in the industrial resources. Copper prices are down around the 250 area. There is a short-term oversold condition, so there is potential for a bounce from here, but it is a lot of work to do to break the sequence of lower rally highs. Therefore, it is the dollar which is going to be, I think, one of the big arbiters here. The continued strength of the dollar and its ability to continue to hold the region of the trend mean that is supporting the treasury markets. It's also helping to contain inflationary pressures. The fact that the Chinese are devaluing their currency is an additional point, and it was in significantly weaker territory in here today. So China is definitely responding to continued threats of intensification of the trade war by devaluing the currency, and that really does look quite clear. And when we think about where are the potential areas of support, well, I think they all are going to correspond very clearly with the percentage of tariffs that are imposed on Chinese exports. That's exactly what we saw in terms of the devaluation from, or at least in the first portion of 2018. If the USA continues to increase tariffs, then China is going to continue to devalue its currency. And that is putting downward pressure on regional currencies as well. So when we think about the Asia dollar index, it has not seen these levels since at least 2009. And this looks like a bearish pattern. It's clearly broken on the downside. So we're going to need a very clear upward dynamic to check momentum here. And that does suggest that there is a race to the bottom in terms of competing with a devaluing Chinese renminbi. That suggests that we're going to see interest rate cuts right across the region. When we then look at what's going on in Latin America, well, obviously there is a source of stress in Argentina, but the Latin America dollar index continues to plumb new depths. And relative to the values that were posted in 2009, we are already at significantly lower levels. This looks like a continued downtrend. The Brazilian real has been under pressure of late. It's now testing its lows posted from 2015, 16, and 18. And it's going to require a clear upward dynamic similar to retests of those lows in order to really check the dollar's dominance. And of course, that is also influenced by the weak commodity price generally. So when we think about what is could potentially create inflation, then we're not seeing those factors right now. If the dollar were to start to decline in response to slowing economic figures and outsized interest rate cuts, then that would put pressure on yields because of the inflationary pressures that would create. That, I think, is informing the discussion at the Treasury about issuing 30 and or 50 or 100-year bonds in order to just spread that maturity and risk out over a longer period. Much of the USA's debt is comparatively short-term in nature, which is one of the reasons why people have been paying attention to the five-year, because that's about where the duration of US debt resides. Against a background where we do have a further intensification of the trade war, the Hang Seng has been really quite volatile. It was down over 800 points at one point today, and it finished down 500 points. If it can continue to hold the 25,000 level, then we're potentially seeing a higher reaction low in here today. I continue to think of China as a trader's market rather than an investor's market. There are just too many outstanding questions about governance. And when it comes to emerging markets, governance is everything. So it really is the fundamental question is about return of capital before we start thinking about return on capital. And that's, I think, a significant issue. Now, when we think about exactly what is going on in China, and there is plenty of evidence of a slowing economy there, much more evidence there of a slowing economy than you have, for example, in the USA, where the economy is more focused on the consumer, and the consumer remains in rude health. Of course, consumers are employed by companies, and companies are influenced by the trade war. So if company earnings do start deteriorating, then that is going to have a knock-on effect on employment. I do rather think, though, that it is among the newer companies that have got a very heavy reliance on access to abundant liquidity, where we have some of the biggest challenges. One of the biggest employers in the new economy is Uber. Now, we can set aside for the moment the point that most of Uber's drivers are not employed directly by the company. But if they lose their work that they're getting as drivers for Uber, well, then they become unemployed, or at least they become jobless. And then that is something that could potentially impact the jobless figures. So the fate of some of these companies, I think, is really significant in terms of the kinds of metrics that really inform the question of whether there's going to be a recession or not. Then, of course, there are the companies that have got a persistent requirement for capital, Netflix being one of those, and they are producing commoditized products at really quite expensive rates, and then people consume them in a short period of time, and the half-life of these types of programs is comparatively short. What I find rather interesting is that the trend mean is almost a straight line around which the price has been incredibly volatile over the course of the last year, but it has very clearly broken downwards. This chart, with its massive reaction against the prevailing trend and period of right-hand extension, is about as clear an example of a type 2 top as one might hope for. Then, when we think about the outlook for the wider market, well, there is obviously demand for dividend-paying stocks, particularly because the yield on a significant number of stock market sectors is above that of U.S. Treasuries. So there is certainly the potential for continued demand from that source. Corporate profitability, on the other hand, is a challenge, and that could potentially result in inflated valuations if the trend of negative interest rates and negative yields persists. So there is the rationale there for a bubbly environment in terms of valuations to arise. Of course, if we continue to see the market trading above the trend mean, then I think that will be the base case, that we will get a bubbly environment before we eventually get a recession. And we have to also remember that when the yield curve does become inverted, that it usually gives a lead indicator of anything out to 18 months. But perhaps more important than that is the fact that the stock market generally tends to rise in the months following an inversion. We are seeing an incredible amount of pessimism being exhibited against a background where the stock market is only a few percent below its all-time peak. There is a lot of cash on the sidelines. Whether that is institutional or retail, there is it's a very significant quantity of cash on the sidelines. And that is not generally how recessions start. It's certainly not the way that stock market tops form. There's usually a much more committed bullish component. And I think that is one of the more important points, that there is still a significant number of shares that are trading above their respective trend means and are still trending higher. And as long as that remains the case, then I think we have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. We know that there are challenges, that is absolutely the case. And the significant rally that we've had in gold over the course of the last 3 months is very much highlighting the desire for a hedge against a background where we have this incredible situation of trillions and trillions of dollars with negative yields. Gold was well off its peak in here today, so it is responding to some weakness in the government bond price and some support coming back in for the equity markets. It's really quite overextended. So there is ample potential for gold to consolidate and still be in a medium-term bullish environment. I think the most important thing we need to remember about gold and precious metals is that they're best bought following periods of weakness. And we certainly haven't had one of those since at least May. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.